This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us. This is BFM 89.9. Now, the government is dipping into the National Trust Fund to pay for COVID-19 vaccines. And for this purpose, Putrajaya has approved a new emergency ordinance to make amends to the National Trust Fund Act of 1988.
So what we do know is the National Trust Fund is managed by Bank Negara, and that as of 2017, it was reported that it had over 16 billion ringgit in assets. Now, under normal circumstances, a move like this would formally come under the scrutiny of lawmakers. But a new law was passed in March, which allows the finance minister to pass a supplementary budget or use consolidated funds without the permission of the legislature while the emergency is still in force. So, of course, what does this all mean?
So to expand on this, joining us on the show today is the economist, Dr. Nungsari Radi. Doc, many people listening might not have heard of the National Trust Fund. So tell us, what exactly is its purpose and what has it been used for in the past?
Okay, it's a fund that's created by the Act of Parliament. So it's equivalent in stature and standing to, say, Kumpulan Wang Pension, Amanah Pension, Kuap, Kumpulan Wang Simpanan Pekerja, that sort of thing. I mean, it's a creature of Parliament for a very specific purpose. The Kumpulan Wang Amanah Negara is actually a national trust fund. Was created by Act of Parliament 1988. The purpose was actually for the future, for future generations, not for now. It's like a sovereign wealth fund of sorts, lah, to use proceeds from income that companies and whatever derive from the natural resources. So that was the purpose. It was set up in 1988. As far as I know, the only contributor so far has been Petronas, because they have derived their proceeds from oil and gas. So that fits the thing. So they have been the only one. In fact, the law, allows for contribution by states as well to contribute towards this thing. It has only been used once, I think, for some wetland projects, like 30, 40 million ringgit at some point in the past. And it hasn't been used for any other purpose that I know of, unless, I don't know, but I think before 2018 like that, it has been used only once.
And Doc, the government has just approved amendments to the National Trust Fund Act in order to fund the vaccine procurement. Now, why do you think the government is tapping into this fund? And do you agree with the move, though?
It's crazy. I think they shouldn't have done that. Even in 98, when we had a financial crisis, we never resorted to this fund. It's meant for the future. Even in 2008, when we had a major crisis, we never resorted to it. The whole point, you can't withdraw the money from the fund unless Parliament approves it. And no Minister of Finance would want to go to Parliament and ask to withdraw funds from this fund instead of withdrawing funds from the consolidated fund. So I totally disagree, even if it's for the vaccine, because we already have an approved budget for the vaccine in the budget that was approved by Parliament end of last year, budget 2021. If you recall, it was something like 3 billion ringgit to vaccinate 70% of the population. And then they added on something, I think, in one of the stimulus packages. Subsequent to that, they added a couple more billion to accelerate the process or something. So, you know, there's money there.
In your opinion, then, what are the better alternatives for how the government can fund the procurement of vaccines? And can you provide examples?
Suppose they have exhausted that budget, which I don't think they've exhausted the budget, because they've only vaccinated a little over 1 million people. The budget that was approved for budget 2020 was to vaccinate 70% of the population. So clearly they have not exhausted it. Suppose they have exhausted it. There are other means to raise the funds, not to dip your fingers into this fund.
So Doc, such as what? What are these other means?
Well, I don't want to mention specific names, but if you look at some companies that have enjoyed tremendous windfall profits because of the COVID pandemic. There was one last week that released their first quarter results, which was one over billion for just one quarter profits, mind you. A whole bunch of these rubber-based companies in the budget, in 2021 budget, like end of last year, they paid like 400 million to Treasury. And the Treasury somehow did not impose windfall profits on them. I mean, that, to me, that's a source of funding if that 3 billion that was approved is not enough.
And Dr. Nung, you mentioned that the trust fund is actually a creature of Parliament. And we know that Parliament has been suspended as long as the emergency is going to be in place. So are there enough check and balances here then?
No, definitely not. I mean, there's two things here, right? This is like one of those things. You first, you should never open this Pandora's box, right? For whatever reason. Because that's the whole point of having this. You see, people, you and I and whatever the politicians, they have finite life, right? The whole point of this fund is it has infinite life because this is for the country. You know, and you shouldn't, therefore, you shouldn't be opening that box for any reason because, you know, until such time that it makes sense, 100 years, 200 years down the road. So once you open this box, especially during Darurat, when parliament is not in session, there's no oversight.
So when does this make sense to dip into the fund?
You only formed this fund for the future generation in 1988. You know, it's only been, what, 33 years. If it's 100 years, I can understand, right? This is like, my God, it's only been like 32 years and you're getting itchy. This is why we never form anything. Nothing is sacrosanct. We think in terms of our problem. We should think in terms of the country's problem and the country's future. We have finite life. The country has an infinite life. So we should think in those terms if it's meant for the country, for the future generations. This is for the people who are not born yet.
Right, so you've highlighted one risk so far, which is that reaching to the National Trust Fund is like opening a Pandora's box and it could be a slippery slope from there. But what other risks do you see?
There's no oversight. Neither oversight on the approved budget for the vaccine, the 3 billion plus whatever else that they have already added to their budget. There's no oversight on that. And on top of that, we have this, in a way, a blank check on withdrawing money from this one, for which there's no oversight as well.
Now, Dr. Nung, might there be any other government funds of this nature that we should know about?
I think trust funds that are specific creatures of Acts of Parliament, I think KWSP, KWAP, and the pension fund, the public sector pension fund, and then this fund, and then these are trust funds. But there are many other trust funds that are created under a different act, but these are within the Treasury. They are for specific purposes, but they're not like this. They're not like a creature of an Act of Parliament like KUAP, Kumpulan Wang Amanah Negara, and Kumpulan Wang Simpanan Pekerja, and so on.
Okay, thank you very much. That was The Economist, Dr. Nungsari A. Radi. Now, I mean, it's very hard to try and get on the government side on this whole development because it just seems incredible that they should want to be putting their fingers into this particular fund, which is meant for the country and which is basically meant for whatever emergency. As the good doctor was saying, we have already set aside the money for the vaccine. Why are they looking to get their fingers into this fund as well?
But it was a question that the opposition leader, Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim, asked in November when this was first brought up. He did ask, when Parliament at that time was in session, he did ask where is the money coming from, and apparently he did not get a satisfactory answer. So, you know, there are still questions. I think there were questions then already, so now we know where the money is coming from. But it's true, this National Trust Fund, I think almost similar to the Norwegian fund.
The Norges Fund, yeah.
Yeah, Norges Fund, which is actually using the natural resources the country has or the money generated from that for future generations. Because let's be honest, our natural gas and oil reserves are not infinite. They will eventually come to an end. And at that point, what are we going to use in terms of, you know, as a safeguard in our economy, right?
And
our piggy
bank
almost.
It's not to say 16 billion is a lot either. You know, it's less than 4 billion US dollars.
To give you some contrast, the Norway pension fund you're talking with, I think ideas did a comparison. In that same period, Kwan was only about 3 to 4 billion USDs. Norway's was $670 billion.
And the Norwegian fund, when they set it up, they had very clear objectives, okay? Mm. They have very specific rules in which they are allowed to dip and not dip into it. If I'm not wrong, they're only allowed to dip a certain percentage. It has to come from dividends. It cannot touch the principal. So there are all these guiding lights in which they use the funds. Now, the issue about this fund is that at the moment, there doesn't seem to be the level of scrutiny that is ideal.
And it just seems so convenient that under the Darurat, then they issue an ordinance to come and, you know, get into these funds. It's too convenient.
It's too convenient. And, you know, from a size standpoint, this really is a baby fund. If you compare to all the other pension reserve funds you have, even Timor-Leste's petroleum fund is much larger. right? And so with the base so small, you are going to hit into the principal.
Yes.
So you can't follow the guiding principles that you were talking about just now, Shaunee.
Yes, it's also very important to realize that Dr. Nungsari was saying that the only contributor to the fund is Petronas, obviously because they are the national oil company. But as opposed to, say, Norway, where everything goes into the fund.
All income generated from oil.
Petronas' money goes and funds the government's OPEX, you know, which is...
And dividends,
which is insult to injury. The fund could have been a lot bigger, but for the fact that they had to pay for the salaries in the government's expenditure.
But this morning, we are running a poll on our on Twitter asking you, how can the government increase transparency regarding fund spend on COVID-19? So, you know, there were four options. There was one, which is clearly outline expenses. The second one's reconvene parliament. Another option is it's already transparent. And of course, the fourth option was all of the above. So far, most of our voters are asking for parliament to be reconvened. I think it's just a question of check and balances.
I want to get both your opinions, because he had a solution, which was, let's go and go after the glove makers. He was kind of making that reference because they were having...
He alluded to it.
He was alluding to it, but he was saying, look, they were having windfall profits. Let's take a chunk of it to fund the vaccines. See, I want to get your opinion about that.
I don't quite agree, lah, because I'm on free side of free enterprise, right? Mm. And when times are bad, do you then help them, right? Because it works both ways, right? Mm. And they invested all this money in machinery, right? They took on the risk. They took on the debt burden, right?
It's also the case of, then goes back to, who decides that this is super profit and this is not super normal profit, right?
Yes.
I mean, there are too many question marks there. So when it comes to taxation, I think taxation or whatever the government decides has to be transparent, has to be clear from the onset. So the businesses know what they're supposed to do, what is their tax rate, and they make the appropriate decisions.
And there's already so many factors militating against private investment and foreign direct investment. Okay, 7:59, we'll come back after this with the news. And then after that, Phil talks to Ko Chuan Zin, the CEO of Plusola, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.